Today's shir is Masech Chagiga Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues discussing the Tanoim who had entered the Paradise, who had entered Shemayim, and what happened to them. In the Gemara, we have learned, said, Rav Akiva Ola B'Shalom V'Yor B'Shalom. Rav Akiva went up, Taisha says he went up with a Shem HaMafayrish, went out with a shame of fire for Yar B'Shalom, and he was able to leave successfully. V'alav HaKos of Oymer, regarding Rekiva, the Pasuk says, in Shir HaShirim, Moshcheni Achrecha Narutza. He's able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing happens to him. Says the Gemara, V'an Rekiva, Bikshu L'dachvay, Bikshu Melach HaSharas L'dachvay. The Melachim wanted also to do some sort of harm to Rekiva. Amlav Akarishparku told them, Hinochul Zakinze, don't leave him, Shiroy Lishtam Shpekfoide, he is deserving not to be harmed in his entry into the paradise. Astigmar Maidorosh. And Rashi has two pshatim in explaining this Gemara. One pshat is, Rabbi Kiva, unlike his colleagues, when he came into the paradise, was careful not to go and not to look where he wasn't supposed to look. What was the simon? What was the sign that Rekiva had to know that this is where he's not supposed to look that prevented him from being harmed? That's one pshat. And the other pshat, Rashi says, is that what did Rekiva do, that what was the shita, what was the philosophy that he followed that prevented him from making any errors? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Abachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk says, V'asai merivavois kodesh. Hashem comes with myriads of angels. Oisu bravava shaloi. When we see there are thousands of malachim, that's a sign that that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So according to the first pshat, what the Gemara means to say is, when Rabbi Kiva saw the place where there were so many malachim, he knew that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and he knew that that's the place that he should stay away from. Or, according to the other pshat, the way to understand it is, Rabbi Kiva always remembered who and how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and that it is impossible for the human mind to fathom and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, and by acting that way and keeping that always in mind, it prevented him from doing something inappropriate. And the same, all the other pshat in the Gemara will offer really speak to the same principles. Dogam al Vavai, he's great amongst the Malachim. Dogmu b'Ravava Shalai, he's represented when there are myriads of people of Malachim. Shlakashama Hashem Tzavakai Shemai, Adnu b'Tzvah Shalai, when there's the army of Hashem around them, we know that's where Hashem is. We recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is according to the second pshat. V'chir bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi b'ruach Hashem, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear with the wind. V'achir ruach rash, and then there's an earthquake. However, Loi b'rash Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear in the earthquake. V'achir rash eish, and then there's fire. However, Loi b'eish Hashem, that's not where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears either. V'achir eish, called the mamadaka, there's a small sound, Hashem over. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Rekiva knew. In the place where this small sound is, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Or he recognized the greatness of Hashem and recognized that we humans are limited in our understanding of who He is. Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shedim, the six characteristics that are said regarding Shedim. Shloshe K'malachei Hasharos, in three ways they're similar to Malachim. V'shloshe K'bnei Adam, in three ways they're similar to people. Shlosh k'malach ha'sharos, the three ways that are similar to malachim. Yesh lem k'nafayim k'malach ha'sharos, they have wings like malachim. And the Mefarshim explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically did not create us with wings, because as we will learn later in our Shir Mitzvah Shem, a person is easily convinced by the Yetzer Hara to do Averis. And if a person would not only be able so easily convinced by the Yetzer Hara to do Averis, but also would be able so quickly to do what he decides because he'd have wings, people would be very likely to do Averis. So to prevent that from happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create us with wings. So Yeshlam Kamalachan Kamalach Hasharas, the Shegdim have wings like the Malach Hasharas. Vitasin Mesaif Ha'olam, that Saif Ha'olam Kamalach Hasharas, that could fly from one end of the world to the other end of the world, like the Malachim. V'yoydim Masha Osin, Liyos Kamalach Hasharas, and they know what's going to be, like the Malach Hasharas know what's going to be. Ask the Gemara, Yoydim Salkadaitach, do even the Malachim know what's going to be? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be. Says the Gemara, El Shoymin Machoyre Apargit Kamalach Hasharas. Behind the partitions, as best as we can understand this, they hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and they know what will be. V'shlosh Pnei Adam. And in three ways, Shadim are like humans. Oichlam V'shlosh Pnei Adam, they eat and drink like humans. Pon V'ravim Pnei Adam, they multiply like humans. Umesim Pnei Adam, and they die like human beings die. Continues the Braisa. Shisha Dvarim Nemar Bnei Adam. Six characteristics were said regarding human beings. Shloshik Malach Hasharas, in three ways they're similar to Malach Hasharas, and Shloshik Behemin, in three ways they're similar to animals. Shloshik Malach Hasharas, in three ways they are similar to Malachim. Yeshlam Das Malach Hasharas, they have understanding like Malachim have. Umahalchim Mekayim Zakufik Malach Hasharas, they walk standing, they walk erect like Malachim walk. Umasapim B'Lashon HaKodesh K'Malach HaSharis, and they're able to speak B'Lashon HaKodesh like Malach HaSharis are able to speak Lashon HaKodesh. So Mefarshim ask that the order mentioned here seemingly doesn't make sense. Because if we're starting from the top of the body down, we should say they have Das, they're able to speak, and they stand B'Kayim Zakufa. If we're standing from the bottom of the body and up, then the Gemara should have said Kaim Zakufa, speaking, and Das. No matter how we want to go, the Gemara should have mentioned speaking in the middle. Yet the Gemara mentioned speaking last. Answer the Mefarshim. That a person has Das, and the person stands erect, applies to him all of the time. A person is always about Das, and a person always stands erect. But a person doesn't and shouldn't always speak. And therefore, since it's the most uncommon characteristic, it's mentioned last. Mefarshim also ask that here our Gemara is teaching us that what makes humans similar to Malachim is the fact that they speak Lashon HaKodesh. But we know that humans don't always speak Lashon HaKodesh, and not all humans speak Lashon HaKodesh at all. So why are they compared in that way to Malachi HaSharis? So Mefarshim answer, the purpose of a human being in this world is the same purpose as the Malachim. Our purpose is to say Shira and Kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the Malachim do. And when the Malachim say Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say it in Lashon Kodesh. And so do we. When we daven in Lashon Kodesh. And the Gemara is emphasizing is that our speaking, the important part of our speaking is the fact that we're able to speak Lashon HaKodesh, speaking Shira B'Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlosh Kebehema, and then the Gemara says the three ways humans are like animals. Oich M'Shoysen Kebehema, they eat and drink like animals, eat and drink. Parn V'Ravim Kebehema, they multiply like animals. Omitzin Rei Kebehema, and they eliminate waste like animals. Before Hashem asks, why doesn't the Gemara give another comparison between human beings and animals, and the fact that both of them die? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that death was brought to the world by Adam HaRishon when he ate from the Eitz Hadas in Gan Eden. Then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that death would be in the world, Malachim are also subject, animals are also subject to death. So the death of animals really emanates from humans, and that's why it's not mentioned. Another pshat that I saw is that the death of a human and the death of an animal are very different. When a human dies, his body is buried in the ground, but his neshama goes up to Shemayim, whereas an animal that dies is completely left in the ground. And the third pshat that I saw is, Ein misa b'leichet. A human only dies because he did an aveiris, whereas animals die because that's part of their natural course, and therefore their death is not the same type of death, and is therefore not mentioned in the Braisa. Says the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah, Kol mistakel ba'ar b'dvarim, whoever looks at four things, roi shleibah l'olam, it would have been better they should not have been come to the world, malamala, malamata, what's above and what's below, malafnim, umalacha, what was before the world was created, and what is after the world will no longer be here. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam malamalamata, what's above and what's below, and malachar, and what will be after the world will be, l'chai, could be understood that that's something that a person does not, as we've been learning, have the ability, and therefore should not go and attempt to understand these concepts. Elifnim, what was before the world was created, might have a, what's the difference? What was, was. Why should a person not be allowed to delve into that? Answers to Gemara, Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, the Amrit Havayu, Moshel Melech Basadam Shamal Avodav. It's analogous to a king who told his servants, Benali Paltrin, build me a palace, Paltrin Gedoyal Mal Ashpa, where there was once a garbage dump. And it was built for him. And with Sainish Shal Melech Lahas Kishem Ashpa, the king doesn't want, when people speak about his palace, that they should always say, this is the palace that was built on a trash heap. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the world, prior to its creation, as it says in Parashas Bereishis, was Tayu V'Vayu, totally empty, and it's inappropriate that this glorious world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created be described as a world that was built on Tayu V'Vayu. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shalai Chosak Vay Kainoi, Roy Suloi Shalai Bala Olam. Mahi, what are we referring to? Rabbi Abba Omer, Rabbi Abba says, Semestakel B'Keshes. It refers to somebody who looks at the rainbow. Rabbi Yaisi says, it refers to Zeh Oiver Aver B'Seisir, somebody who does a sin only in secret. Because what he's trying to show is that he doesn't believe that there's a God in the world. And that's why he only does a sin where nobody, no other people could see him. He's not concerned about God. As the Mefarshim explain, we know that the Torah is stricter in its punishment to a ganef. A ganef is someone who steals surreptitiously versus its punishment to a gazlin, who someone who steals openly. Because the person who's a ganef is showing that he's only worried about people, he's not worried about God, such a person is far more of a balaveira. Says the Gemara, Mestakel B'Keshes, why is it inappropriate to look at the rainbow, the ksiv? Because the pasuk says in Yecheskel, "Kamara keshes asher b'onon b'yom hageshen," as the rainbow appears on a, in the clouds on a rainy day. "Kein mara hanoiga soviv," so is the appearance of the brilliance around. "Humar dvos kvar Hashem," this is the glory, the way the glory of Hashem looks. So looking at the keshes is like looking at Hashem. So the question obviously is, we know that when one sees the rainbow, one is supposed to make the bracha. And here it says that we're not supposed to look at the rainbow. So Mefarshim explained what the Gemara here means to say, that one is not supposed to stare intently at the rainbow. However, to just look at it, to make a bracha, is permissible. It's interesting to note that the Chaya Adam, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that there is a minig not to tell someone else when one sees the rainbow. And the Mefarshim explained the reason being, because as we know, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a rainbow in the sky? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a rainbow in the sky because after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he will never make a Mabul again. And he put the rainbow as Kashti Nosati Bo'onon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the rainbow in the sky to serve as a remembrance that this will never happen. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that people are doing Averis, and perhaps he's tempted, Kaviyachol, to bring a Mabul, he takes out the rainbow. To whom does he send that message? He sends that message to the person who's a Balavera. So if I see the rainbow, indicating that I'm a Balavera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends, has to send me the message of the Keshes, but my colleague, my friend, is not necessarily Balavera, telling him that there's a rainbow is, so to speak, showing him that I consider him a Balavera. However, many Paiskim disagree, and they do say that it is permissible to tell someone else about an appearance of a rainbow. However, the Paiskim do make the following distinction. The halacha is that once a month, we have to be Mekadosh Levana. And even if one is learning or davening, he has to interrupt his learning to go out to him Kaddish Levona. However, the halacha clearly is that if one is learning in a Beis Medrash, he doesn't have to leave the Beis Medrash to go out to look at the rainbow and make a brocha. What's the difference? Explain the Mefarshim. In the Nusach of Kiddush Levana, we say, Imolei lezochu Yisrael lehagbol pnei shchina pam achas b'chodesh dayom. It would be adequate if we went and greeted the Shechina once a month. Being the Kaddish Levana is an opportunity to greet the Shechina. And therefore we interrupt our learning to go greet the Shechina. Even though a bracha is made on a keshes, that isn't considered a greeting of the Shechina, and therefore we do not interrupt our learning to go make that bracha. Rav Yosef Amar, Za'over Aver B'Seisr, what this means is, regarding someone who does an Aver secretly, Rav Yitzchak. If somebody does an Aver secretly, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of the Shechina. As we've learned so many times, the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over the world, and the person who acts this way is, so to speak, saying that he doesn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world, and it's therefore his actions are highly inappropriate. Ask the Gemara, is it worse to do an Avera surreptitiously? If a person sees that his Yetzirah is overwhelming him, he should go to a place where people do not recognize him. He should put on black clothing, wrap himself in black, and do as his heart desires, rather than so we see that the Avera should be done secretly. Answers the Gemara, and this is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, Loikasha. If he can overcome his Yetzirah, then he should not do the Avera under any circumstances. However, if he cannot overcome his Yetzirah, so then it's better to do the Avera in a place where it's not going to be so seen, and it won't be such a Chil Hashem, rather to do it in public. Other Rishonim explain that certainly there is never a heter, there's never a permit to do Aveira, whether it's in public or not in public. And what the Gemara here means to say is that if one sees that the Yetzirah is overwhelming him, what is the way that he could fight back, put on black, and go to a place where he's not known, and that will be his way of overcoming the Yetzirah. And in fact, they explain that we know that the Rambam says, the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, that under certain circumstances, if a person refuses to give a get to his wife, we force him to give it until he says, until he's agreeable. The question is, the get that's given by force is not a valid get. So Rambam says, really every Jew always wants to do the right thing. Just the Yetzirah gets in the way. So we force him at Shiyayim Roitza in his true intention, what his heart, the heart of a Jew is the heart that wants to do the right thing, appears. Here too is Pshat in the Gemara. Yisatav Shchayrim, V'yelech L'mokim Shal, this type of action of putting on these black clothing and going to a place where he's not known will cause the Liboy, what his heart really wants, what the heart of a Jew, which is the heart that really wants to do the right thing, chafetz, that's what he'll end up doing by taking this type of precautionary action. Another pshat that I saw is that there are certain acts that are inappropriate for certain people. A choshev person, a more distinguished person, has to be more careful in his actions versus a person who's not so distinguished. In Roya Adam, if a person who's an Adam choshev sees that he's being overwhelmed by the Yetzirah, and he's going to do something which, given his stature and given his position, where he is, where people know him, it's inappropriate that he should act this way. So what he should do is he should go to a place where people ain't makir noisoi, where people do not know him. In such a place, this person may act this way, and he will prevent chil Hashem. Darish Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmanim, and Targum of the Reish Lakish. Kol mistak b'shlosh dvarim, whoever looks at one of three things, einav keyos, his eyesight will grow dim. B'keshes, in the rainbow, b'nasi, at a prince, or b'kahanim, at the kahanim when they duchen. And the Gemara gives the source for each one of these. B'keshes d'ksiv, as we just learned, k'mara keshes, ashiyah b'onan b'yoyim ha'geshen, humari d'mus kvar Hashem. Looking at the keshes is looking like the Shechina, which, as the pasuk says, k'loy yirani odom v'chai. A person cannot look at the at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and survive, and therefore it's inappropriate that a person should look at the keshes. Be b'nasi d'ksev v'nasata m'hoitcha olav. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was giving over the mantle of leadership to Yeshua, was said that we have the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Nasi has the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One should therefore not stare intently at the Nasi. HaMestakel b'Kahanim, looking at the Kahanim as they bless Klai Yisrael, is referring b'zman sh'beis minish kayim, when the beis minish was standing, sh'yoyim dem al duchanim, where the Kahanim was standing on the platform, u'varchen es Yisrael v'shem ha'mefarish. And they used to bless Klai Yisrael with the shem ha'mefarish. It was a tremendous time of Gilu Shechina, and therefore it's inappropriate to look at the Kohanim at that time. Tosfos points out that Rashi seems to say that even nowadays, Rashi Masechta Megillah, that even nowadays where we don't have duchening in the Beis Hamikdash with the Shem HaMefarish, it's still inappropriate to look at the Kohanim as they duchen. And Tosfos is somewhat concerned about this pshat, because Agmar clearly seems to indicate it's only when in the Beis Hamikdash with the Shem HaMefarish. And therefore, Tosfos says the reason one is not supposed to look at the Kohanim as they duchen nowadays is for a different reason. It's because of Hesach Hadas. If we're supposed to concentrate on the bracha we're receiving, and if we're going to be busy staring at the Kohanim, we will have Hesach Hadas. And in fact, the Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav, uses this Gemara to say an interesting, uses this point that Tosfos makes to make an interesting point. He says, we know there's a mitzvah to say for the Kahanim to mevarech es Yisrael. However, he says that what about, is there a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael to receive a bracha? So he says from our Gemara it's evident that there's a mitzvah also to receive a bracha. Because if Tosfos is concerned that when the Yisraelim are looking at the Kohanim, they will not concentrate. What's the problem if they're not going to concentrate? Because they're supposed to concentrate to receive the bracha. There's a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael to receive a bracha, and therefore we want them to concentrate. So from here we see there's a mitzvah to receive the bracha. Dar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmanim b'Targum the Reish Lakish. Ma'idik Siv, what it says, Al taminu b'reya, al tiftachu b'elef. Do not trust a friend, do not rely on an official. If the Yetzirah tells you, Chatchta, do an Aveira, but Kodesh Baruch Hu, Meichel, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will forgive you, Al Tamin. Do not trust what the Yetzirah says. Shenemar, Vein Reya El Yetzirah, because the word Reya refers to the Yetzirah, Shenemar, Ke Yetzir Leiv Ha'odam Ra. Vein Aleph Al Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, Aluf, Ne'eri Ata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of my youth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. And like the Mefarshim explained, the word Reish Aleph could be pronounced in two ways. Reya, like a friend, and Ra, bad. The Yetzirah has both of these characteristics. He's Ra, he's the Yetzirah. And he's also Reya. He comes to the person from when he's born and tries to seduce the person to do Averis. And as the first we say, what is what the Yetzirah says? The Yetzirah tries to make a deal with the person. Do an Avera, and after you do the Avera, I won't bother you anymore. And of course, the person should not be allowed, should not allow himself to be fooled. The Kotzk Rebbe used to explain the Gemara this way. The Yetzirah tells the person, why are you going to start a shir? If you start a shir at night, you'll always have something to do at night. You start a shir in the morning, it's hard for you to get up in the morning. You know how many times you've attempted to begin learning and you haven't been successful. Don't begin. Chata, you can't complete your mission. That is the Atzas HaYetzer. The Yetzer is the one that tries to convince us not to begin doing Divrei Kedusha. But it's our job to begin and do the best we can. Shem time, perhaps the person will say me, maybe, who will testify against me if I do an Avera? Says the Gemara, Avnei Beisoy, Vikaris Beisoy Shaladam, the stones and the beams of a person's house, Hemi Eden Boy, say testimony. Shnemar, Ke'evan Mikir Tizak, the stone will cry out from the wall, Ukufitz Me'etzi Anena, and a chip of the beams will testify. I saw a story, there was once a young man who just got married, and he came into the Ger Rebbe to leave Simcha, and the Rebbe asked him, so are you satisfied with your apartment, your house that you're living in? And he said yes. And then the Rebbe asked him, and is the apartment satisfied with you? Meaning, as our Gemara teaches us, is the apartment going to be able to say Edus that you're acting appropriately? The Chamayimrim Nishmasa Shal Adam Mi'idaboy. The person's neshama says testimony about him. Shenemar Mishchaves Chaykecha Shma Pischei Picha. Guard the doorways of your mouth from the one that lies in your bosom, the neshama. Ezu Davar Sheshcheves Bechaykecha Shal Adam. What lays in every one of us have oimers and neshama. Rav Zeikoimer Shnei Malachei Asharis Hamlavnoisoy. The two malachim that escort us, hey me Eden boys, say testimony about our actions. Shenemar ki malachav yitzavalok l'shmarcha b'chol d'ruchecha. V'yesh oimrim evar v'shal adam Eden boy, a person's limbs say testimony. Shenemar v'atem edai num Hashem, you are my witnesses, v'nikel and I am Hashem. The Mashal explains the Gemara that a person does averis with speech, speaking inappropriately. A person sometimes does a various loisa say, he does a various that he's not supposed to do. And sometimes a person has the opportunity to do a mitzvah say, and he doesn't do it. And all three of these things are referred to in our Gemara. The neshama, which is the Targum teaches us, is the ruach memalala, testimony about what we say with our mouths. The malachim, who escort us wherever we go, say testimony regarding what we did wrong, and the house says testimony where we had opportunity to do in a mitzvah, and the house is able to say that we avoided doing it. The Karen Ira says that these four witnesses that are referred to in our Gemara that say testimony about a person's actions are actually referred to in the Krishma that we say every day, B'shiftecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha b'derech v'shapecha v'kamecha. Shiftecha b'veisecha, as we just said, the person's home says Eidus about him. Lechtecha b'derech, the malachim that accompany us say Eidus. The neshama says Eidus b'shiftecha when we lay in bed, as we know that the neshama goes up every night as we sleep and says Eidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives a dim the cheshbin. And kumay, the avarim, say Eidus that we get up properly and on time and in the right way to do the avodas Hashem. It's very interesting to note the Gemara Masech the Brachas, and so does the Shulchan Aruch bring down that when a person enters a Beis Hakisei, he's supposed to say Iskabdu Mechubadim Kedoshim Mishar Se'elyon Tnu Kavod Lelekei Yisrael. We say to the Malachim who escort us, we're going into the bathroom and wait for us until we come out. So the Paiskim say that we no longer have the minig to say this nusach. And the question is, our Gemara just clearly indicated that Malachim do escort us wherever we go. So why don't we say this nusach anymore? So some Paiskim want to suggest that since only in those days where the bathrooms were not in homes, they did not have modern plumbing with everybody having a lavatory in the house, and the lavatories were outside the city where there was a concern about shadim, that's why they had to say this nusach. But we who have in our homes bathrooms don't have to be concerned. But another pshat that I saw is the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains. The Aruch HaShulchan says depending on a person's status in ruchnius, that will determine if he has malachim or he feels the malachim escorting him. In ancient times where people were in a higher level of ruchnius, they felt the malachim who were accompanying them. And since they felt the malachim accompanying them, they were able to say this nusach. We, however, don't have that status, and that's why we have to we don't say the nusach anymore. And with that, we can understand why on Friday night we do say Shalom Aleichem Malachi Asharus. The Jew who comes home from shul Friday night is certainly on a much higher level of kedusha, and because he's on a higher level of kedusha, he's able to much more feel the presence of the malachim, and he says Shalom Aleichem Malachi Asharus. And in fact, on this we can answer another question. The Yaivitz is puzzled with the nusach of the Shalom Aleichem. We say Shalom Aleichem, we're greeting the malachim who we have the opportunity to bring into our homes. Ask the Yaivitz, so we have this wonderful opportunity, how do we immediately say to them, Tzeischem L'Shalom, we're sending them away. So some suggest in fact not to say it. It's the Minig in Sanz and in other places, that not to say Tzeischem L'Shalom. Others say the reason it's said is because it follows the what it says in the pasuk, Baruch Ata B'Bayacha or Baruch Ata B'Tzeisecha. But another pshat that I saw is that we realize that we don't have the ability to remain on the status that we will have the malachim with us all the time, and therefore we're careful to indicate Salam Aleichem. Yes, Baruch Hashem, we know that we have malachim coming home with us on Friday night as we come home from shul and we greet them, but we know that we're not going to remain on that level to feel the malachim with us, and therefore we say to them, Tzeischem L'Shalom. Says the Mishnah. And as Rashi indicates, this Mishnah represents the first machloikis that ever took place in Klal Yisrael, halachic machloikis. Yosei Ben Yoezer Oymish Loi Lismav. Yosei Ben Yoezer says we do not do smicha on Kabbonis on Yontif. Yosei Ben Yoechan Oymish Loi Lismav, we do smicha. Yeshua Ben Brachy Oymish Loi Lismav. Yeshua Ben Brachy says we don't do smicha. Nita Abela Oymish Loi Lismav, we do smicha. Yud Ben Tavay Oymish Loi Lismav, we don't do smicha. Shim Shem Atach Oymish Loi Lismav, we do smicha. Shmai Oymish Loi Lismav, Shmai says we do smicha. Avtayin Oymish Loi Lismav, we don't do smicha. Hillel Menachem Loi Nechalku, they didn't argue over this matter. Yotz Menachem, when Menachem left his position, the Gemara will explain what happened, and Nichna Shammai, and Shammai entered his place. Shammai Amish Loi Lismach, Shammai said, we don't do Smicha, Hillel Amish Lismach. And as the Gemara says in Masech Tebeya, Daf Chof, what is the basis of this Machloikis? Explains the Gemara over there that two brises explaining this Machloikis. One brise says that by a carbon Nedava, when somebody donates a carbon shlomim, certainly he has an obligation to do smicha. Our Mishnah, however, is referring to the carbon chagiga, which, as we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, one has an obligation to bring. And the basis of the machlokes is there a chiyuv to do smicha even by a carbon chayva? Some mandarim say that there is no obligation, though it's the mandarim that say shloi l'smach, and the mandarim that say we do smicha hold that there is an obligation even on a carbon chayva. Another way of explaining the machloikis is, and this is somewhat alluded to in our Gemara, is that doing smicha on Yontif actually involves being over the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan one is over is the halacha of mishtamish b'balchai, using a balchai. So what the Gemara says here is, so the base of the machloikis is, the mandam that said that we don't do smicha on Yontif holds that smicha does not have to be done right before shchita. And since smicha does not have to be done right before shchita, and smicha should not be done on Yontif, so the smicha on any carbon we bring, even though every carbon requires smicha, should be done before Yontif. The other mandam holds that take of smicha l'shchita, smicha has to be done right before the shchita, and therefore we don't have the luxury of waiting before Yontif. Tosfos asks that, as we indicated, Rashi says that this is the first machloikis that we have in the history of Klal Yisrael. As Tosfos that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that ready in the times of Shaul HaMelech, there was machlokes between Shaul and David HaMelech about a Mekadosh, somebody who performs a Kedushin, B'milva U'pruta. So it's not the first machlokes. It says Tosfos that David really wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin, and therefore that's not considered a machlokes. Another teretz given is that although there was a machlokes, but that machlokes, they took a vote and came to a conclusion, to a position. Whereas this is the first machlokes, as our Mishnah teaches us, that continued for many generations. Another pshat that I saw is that there were machlokes in Klal Yisrael previously, but those machlokes were not over a din, they were over svara. Some mandamra held this way is the right svara, other people held the other svara is right. Here, it's not a machloikis in a svara, it's a machloikis in a din. This was the first machloikis in a din. Says the Mishnah, Harishonim, all the first people mentioned in the pairs that we've been learning were the Nesiim, Hayinesiim, which is the higher position, Vishnim Lahem, and the second person mentioned in each pair is the Abezdin, with the person of the second highest stature in the Bezdin. Tosfos on Amud Aleph asks, how could we mention Shammai before Hillel? Wasn't Hillel the Nasi? So Tosfos answers that since Shammai was the mandamid that says we don't do smicha, and the most peers mentioned in this Mishnah, the first Manda Omer is the Manda Omer that holds we don't do smicha. That's why Shammai is mentioned first. And Tosfos takes it a step further. He says, since this Mishnah mentioned Shammai before Hillel for the reason just given, and as we said before, this Mishnah represents the first machlokes that there was in the history of Klal Yisrael, therefore it remains in all the other Mishnayos and Shas when we have Shammai and Hillel. Shammai is mentioned before Hillel. Even though the Mefarshim asked that, we know that the Gemara says that the reason Shammai is mentioned before Hillel is because the Hillel were a lot softer than the Beis Shammai. So Mefarshim explained that only refers to the Beis Hillel, to the students of Hillel. Here we're referring to Hillel and Shammai themselves, and that's the reason why Shammai is always mentioned before Hillel. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Shloish Mizugas HaRishayinim Shom Shloi Lismaich, the three Talmid HaChamim mentioned in the first groups that said not to do smicha were Vishnayim Mizugas HaRishayinim Shloi Lismaich, and the two of the last group that said we do smicha, HaRishayinim Hayin Nesniim, the first ones mentioned on the Nesiim, the Shneim Lahem, and the second one mentioned is the Avos Beis Din, Divrei Rav Meir. Chamrimim Yehuda ben Tabai, when we have the group, the pair of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach, even though Yehuda ben Tabai is mentioned before Shimon ben Shatach, Yehuda ben Tabai was the Abezdin and Shimon ben Shatach was the Nasi. Says the Gemara, based on the machloikas that we just learned, Man Tana Lohad Tana Rabbanan, who's the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Amar Yehuda ben Tabai. Yehuda ben Tabai says, Erev Nechama, my seed in Nechama. Farshim explained that even though Yehuda ben Tabai lived in the time of the Bayis Sheni, he was aware that this Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, and even before it was destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni did not have the same level of Kedusha as the previous Beis HaMikdash. And he says, "Halavai, I should see the Nechama, and Lo Irakti Eid Zoymim, that I did not kill an Eid Zoymim, Lahoitzi Melibim Shetzdoikim, to dispel what the Tzedakim said, Shaya Oimrim, Ein Edom Zoymim Nehrogim, an Eid Zoymim is not killed at Shiaragan Nidin, unless the person that they said their false testimony against was killed, Amla Shim Ben Shatach, and he killed an Eid Zoymim, even though the person was not killed, he was only sentenced to death. That was, he held enough to kill an Eid Zoymim. Amla Shim Ben Shatach, so Shim Ben Shatach told Yehuda Ben Tabai, Erev Ben Nechama, you should see in the Chama and Loshfach the Damnoki, that you shed innocent blood. Shvayam Chachamim, Ein Edom Zoymim Nerogim, Achi Zoymim Shneim. Only we kill an Eid Zoymim if both of them became Zoymim. Vein Leiken, and we don't give Malchus to Edom Zoymim, Achi Zoymim Shneim, unless both of them became Edom Zoymim. We do not make them pay money, unless both of them were for, became eight zomim. And he killed one witness, and he did the wrong thing. So ask Taisus, we know that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let tzaddikim do the wrong thing. So how did this happen that Yehuda ben Tabi should make this error? So Taisus answers two terutzim. One terutz Taisus gives is that this aid that Yehuda ben Tabi killed was anyway deserving of death. And another terutz Taisus gives is this rule of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al tzaddikim is only b'midah d'achila as far as eating, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a tzaddik to eat macholos asuris, which is particularly repulsive. But that rule doesn't apply to other areas of halacha. Miyad kibal of Yehuda ben Tabi, after this story, Yehuda ben Tabi accepted upon himself she'en amar halacha elefnei shirim and shatach, that he will not say din in front of, only in front of shirim and shatach. And says the Gemara, kol yom she Yehuda ben Tabi ha'mishtatech al kivrei shloi saharig, he used to go prostrate himself by the kever of this person that got killed. And a voice would be heard. Everybody thought that it was the voice of the executed person. And he told them, it's my voice. Teda, what's the proof? After Yehuda ben Tabi said in himself he will leave the world, his voice will no longer be heard. So it's obvious that it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabi's voice, not the voice of the person that died. So Mefarshim say, why does he have to wait till he leaves the world? Let him just not go one day and his voice won't be heard. So Mefarshim say that perhaps as long as he's in the world, this person will cry out. But after he leaves the world, how do we know? Perhaps the fact that the voice stopped, it doesn't prove it was Yehuda ben Tabi's voice, and maybe it was the voice of the person who was executed, but when he came to the Olam HaEmes, they appeased him. They went to the Din Shemayim, and that's why the voice wasn't heard. So as Ritva explains, it's not to say that there's a question in the Gemara's mind that Yehuda ben Tabi was saying something which wasn't true. What the point of the Gemara is that there is no conclusive proof that this voice, from the fact that Yehuda ben Tabi isn't here anymore, was indeed Yehuda ben Tabi's voice. Maniha. So who's the author of this brisa? Iyam b'shalom Rameya. If we'll say it's Rameya, Dom is Shimon Shatach Abezdin, who said Shimon Shatach is the Abezdin, and Yehuda ben Tabi is the Nasi. So now, Hayin the Kamari Allah b'Shimon Shatach. Yehuda ben Tabi had the right to paskin shayos in front of Shimon Shatach, but because of this thing that happened, he said, I will no longer do it. Eli am Rabbanan, we're going to say Rabbanan, Damer Yehuda ben Tabi was the Abezdin. And Shimon ben Shatach was the Nasi, Abezdin mifnei Nasi mimari halacha. He couldn't have anyway not said anything in front of him. Abezdin is not supposed to paskin in front of the Nasi. Says the Gemara Loi, my kibbel of the coming, this proof is not conclusive. Listarufi, that filas tarufi, namelam listarifna, he said, what Yehuda ben Tabi said, I will never sit in a court unless Shimon ben Shatach is there. That's how Rashi explains. Taisus explains, what he meant to say was, that if he's sitting in the same court together with Shimon ben Shatach, and Shimon ben Shatach will express an opinion, he will always agree with Shimon ben Shatach's opinion. The Mishnah said, Yotze Menachem, we take out Menachem and Nechna Shammai. Lechin Yotze, where'd he go? Abaya Amma, Yotze Latar Besra. He went off to wrong derech. Rav Amma Yotze Lavoydus HaMelech. He became a minister in the court of Herodes. Tayin HaMehachay, Yotze Menachem Lavoydus HaMelech. Yotze Ma Yishmanim Zugas Talmidim Levushim Sarikim. 80 pairs of Talmidim wearing royal garb went with him. And as Ben Yoyod explains, there's really no machloikis. When Talmidei Chachamim leave the yeshiva where they should be, saying shiurim, learning Torah, that's going the tarbus ra. Amar Rav Shem bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, la'olam al tei shvus kal b'einecha, something which is only in Issa d'Rabbanan should not be taken lightly. Shrei smicha, as we explained in the Mishnah, ein ela mishum shvus. The entire issa of doing smicha is only a shvus. And yet, as we learned in our Mishnah, v'nech l'kabal g'day le'adar, it's the subject of such a major machloikas. Pshita, ask the Gemara. Obvious, what we just said. What's Rabbi Yochanan pointing out? Answers the Gemara, Shvus Mitzvah Tzuchalei. To hear there's a mitzvah involved, and still we see how serious a Shvus should be taken. Answers the Gemara, that too is Hanami Pshita. Obviously we're talking about a mitzvah. Smicha is a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Lafukin Mandam B'smicha Gufa K'mefgi. The Machlokes here is that we're not arguing about Smicha itself. We're only arguing that everybody holds that smicha should take place. The entire machlokes here is can take place on yontif. Everybody agrees that even by carbon, the dova, a smicha should take place. The machlokes here is, do we do it on yontif? And as Vasema says, if one couldn't do the smicha before yontif, does he do the smicha on yontif? Amrab Rami Bachoma. From this Gemara we see that when smicha is done, it has to be done with one's entire strength. If we can say we don't need to use one's entire strength, my covet, so why shouldn't we do smicha? It's not called mishtamish b'chayiv, we're not using our entire strength. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Pasuk says, da b'nei Yisrael v'somach. B'nei Yisrael somachim, only men have to do smicha. V'b'nei Yisrael somachim, not women. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon Oimrim, but Nois Yisrael Samchus Rishus. Women have a right to do smicha if they wish to. Amr Rav Yossi, Sochli Abba Lozer told me, Pamachus Hayolona Egel Shazivcha Shlomim. We once had a calf that we bring as Kamen Shlomim, and it was brought by women. Vivanul Ezra Snoshim was brought as a Snoshim, the Samchalov Noshim. Not because smicha must be performed by women. El Kadei Lasis Nuach Noshim. Only because we wanted to make them satisfied that they also were participating in doing smicha. Ask the Gemara. If we're going to say that smicha has to be done with one's entire strength, we allow one to use an animal that's kachim just because we want to make them happy. We don't have to do kachim. Answer the Gemara. One's entire strength must be used. Yes, when the women did the smicha, damlu akvi yidaychu, we told them just put your hands lightly on the animals' heads. Ihachi levenesh smicha benoshim. So they didn't do the smicha. If smicha has to be done with one's entire strength, and the women only put their hands on lightly, that isn't smicha. Typically, what should have been said, they didn't smicha kal. What they did is not considered a smicha at all. Says the Gemara, that's indeed what he meant. Arav ami chadav oidkama. Chadav, the laces l'smicha klal, what they did is not really considered a smicha. V'oid, furthermore, k'day lasas nurach nachas ruach l'noshim, to make them satisfied, we allow them to do this. And from here, Tosfos teaches us a very important halacha, that even a mitzvah that women are not obligated to do, such as the mitzvah smicha that we're discussing, women may do. And that's why Tosfos says women may do mitzvahs to say shizman groma, and even make a bracha on them, which is really the subject of a machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Ramah says that women may make a bracha and even on mitzvahs they're not obligated to do. Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam disagree. Amra Papa, Shmaminot, Stadma Sirim. From here we should see that not only the head of an animal may not be used on Yontif, but even the sides of an animal may not be used. This Akadaitat Stadim Mutarim, if we could say that sides of an animal could be used on Yontif, Lismach, why don't we do the smicha on the head? Because we're not, or do it on the sides, a different gear, but don't do the smicha in a way that should be prohibited, that's considered using an animal on yontif. Answers the Gemara, El Lash Memino, must be that stod masurim, and that's why the Gemara didn't give an option of doing smicha on the sides. Rashi mafil time at stod matarim. Even if you say that the sides of an animal may be used on yontif, and therefore, perhaps, why don't we do the smich on the sides to avoid any problem? Kol b'hadi d'gaba k'gaba dami. Anything which is on the level of its back is treated like the back, is treated like the head. So therefore, even if we'll do smich not directly on the head, we'll do smich on the side, it's considered like we did use the head of the animal. And if therefore, if shtamish b'chai is an issue, it would be prohibited, and that's the basis of the machloikis, if smich may or may not be done on yontif.